Hey, everybody. Welcome, and thank you for listening to this episode of Marriage Therapy Radio. My name is Zach Brittle. I'm here with Laura Heck. Today, Laura lets me workshop a topic that I've been thinking about really for a long time, but I'm getting ready for a speaking gig, and I thought I would throw it around. During the podcast, she eats it up. She loves it. She thinks it's amazing. And then after the podcast, she told me that she thought it stunk. So I'll be interested to know what you think. I dig it. Obviously, it needs a little bit of work, but I hope that you will let us know if it resonates for you or if it doesn't. And also, if you try it out, let us know. You can't come to my speaking gig because it's kind of a private thing, but also you could come to our next Seven Principles workshop, which is May 17th and 18th. Registration is open and available on marriagetherapyradio.com. I think there's still an early bird discount for those of you who are interested in learning about how those Gottman principles in particular facilitate healthy connection and growth. We have enjoyed teaching that more and more. Couples really dig it. I think you will too. But in the meantime, this is a very cool conversation. Stick around. It's my brother's birthday.
You don't talk much about your brother.
I don't. No, we're not actually that close. He's 4 years younger than me, but he was born on 4/4, which I think is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. You always remember it. It's 4/4/24, if that means anything.
Yeah. And he lives in Virginia. He's a firefighter, which is cool. I think he's a badass.
Will you show me a picture of him? Will you text me a picture?
I have to find one. Yeah, I have to find one. I'll just dial it up on the internet or something because I see him about once every three, four years because I just, he doesn't come out here and I don't go back there too much. When I go back east, I'm not always in Virginia, which is where he lives, but we saw him, I don't know, last Christmas, not this last Christmas, but the one before that. Anyway, happy birthday, Justin. And I hope you have a great day in your, in your world that you're in.
Fun fact, my college crush, which I don't even think he knew he was a crush, but my college crush's name was Justin. Did I ever tell you about that? He's like I always had crushes on people and I just never told them that I had crushes on them. And I just friend zoned myself. So I had like a solid 4 year friend zone with this guy.
Yeah.
And he got the best of me because I was like still in the friend zone. So I wasn't like a crazy girlfriend. I just was like a really great companion.
That's
so
awesome.
He probably has a history and memory of being like me being the best friend a guy could ever ask for in addition to his dude friend. Mm-hmm. And I have this memory of the one that got away. And then I attended his wedding with my husband and I was like, cheers. Congratulations on your marriage. At least she could say she liked you. Anyway.
Yeah. You know what I think is creepy? Like, tell me how you feel about this. You know how like there's like all these trends on the TikToks and stuff and,
the TikToks. Yes.
One of them is, like you and Justin sitting next to each other playing, you know, whatever, watching TV or something. And you've set up the camera because you're going to try and kiss your best friend. So it's the video
cringy.
Is
cringy.
This is me trying to kiss my best friend and see what happens. Right. Like, And it's like, whoa, stop. Or maybe they kiss him or who knows. Or it's like, finally, I can't believe we waited all this time, you know. But mostly it's this cringy, like, what the heck are you doing? And I don't know.
The one I have enjoyed is the videos where, and I have only seen one, but I guess it's like where they set up a video of them coming out to their parents or, you know, it's like a subtle coming out where they're listening. They're like, dad, I want you to listen to this song. And the song's like, I kissed a girl and I liked it, you know? And then the dad, she's like looking at her dad, like, do you get it? Do you get it? Do you get it? And most of the videos, at least all of them are of the parent having a really positive, loving interaction with their kid. Which
I'm sure
I think is
post
actually
one
quite
that
exactly right where their parent freaks out, kicks them out of the house. But I'm pretty happy not to be on social media these days. I have to
How
say.
How about this one? Do you know what this is? What is this a video of? Ready? This is the song in the background. Coming home, I'm coming home. Tell the world that I'm coming home. Everybody listening knows exactly what it is. Do you know?
No, I have no idea.
It's always videos of like, military guys coming back from deployment and surprising the person. Like, so it's
and
like,
then the
walking
my favorite
into the class
is the dog reaction where it's shaking all over. All right. Well, what's on your mind? Actually,
this is our discussion of TikTok trends.
conclude, brought to you by probably
two
Rocket
people that
Money
aren't on TikTok paired. And have no idea what the hell's going on.
Probably brought to you by Rocket Money or maybe the Paired app or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was telling you that I went to the doctor and all I was doing was just, I had to get a new primary care physician. Uh-huh. And so she was just giving me not my annual exam, which is like the new word of what I call the pap smear.
You didn't go to your athletic trainer.
Did I tell that story on the podcast?
You did. Yeah, you did.
Oh, I'm so glad. Yeah. No, this is another, it's gotten a little bit less embarrassing, but at one point she was like, well, here's the thing. I know her also. I asked her specifically in my running group, is it weird if you were to be my doc since we previously know each other? And it's a very small town. I knew she was going to say it's not weird. But she was like, sure, I'll take you on. I'm full, but whatever. And when she went to go give me my breast exam, I put my arm above my head and I got a whiff of my armpit and it was like sopping wet because you know how you get really nervous when you take your clothes off and you put those paper gowns on and I've like, she leaves the room literally for 30 seconds. By the time she comes back, it looks like I mean, literally it's dripping down my side. I'm so gross. So anyway, I put my arm over my head and I don't say a word, but I can like, at some point I'm thinking you don't have a glove on and you're all up in my armpit and it's very wet.
She's probably seen that before.
I know she has 100%. I'm sure she walked out of the room.
Do you want to know a fun fact about two of the women in my house? You might already know this. Mm-hmm.
They don't grow armpit hair.
They don't grow armpit hair and they don't sweat.
Oh, they don't sweat?
They might sweat a little bit, but they have no, the thing you're describing is like would never happen. Yeah. They don't have armpit sweat or body odor or any hair that grows under there.
So one of your daughter got the gene from Rebecca and the other one got your sad gene.
Yeah, apparently.
You don't have body odor though. I've never smelled
really,
you.
Not really. I mean, if I exercise like in here with the Peloton and this like little box of a room, like I'll get stinky, but mostly I'm fine. Like I'm just kind of unexceptional in that way.
Yeah. So why is it in the last 10 years, I've never smelled body odor on you?
Cause I've never exercised near you.
Yeah.
That's an easy one.
That's easy.
Yeah.
Hey gang, I wanted to take just a minute to tell you again about Paired. It's an app that you can use to stay connected to your partner. As you know, if you've been listening to the podcast for very long, Rebecca and I have used it pretty consistently. We like it. It keeps us on top of just regular old conversations that we're having for another. But I'm also hearing from clients and fans of the podcast that they're using it too, like Dave and Sherry. Dave and Sherry are constantly looking for ways to stay connected. And so they downloaded the apps and they're using it to start conversations that they wouldn't otherwise have. They work opposite schedules, so they're not in each other's presence very often. And so the app helps them stay connected. If that sounds like something that you could use, I want to encourage you to give it a try. Again, it's called Paired, and it's a relationship app for couples. You and your partner download the app. You pair together every day. Paired gives you questions, quizzes, and games to have fun, stay connected, and deepen your conversations. You'll get questions like, what do you remember about the first time you met? What three words best describe your partner? What's something you admire about one another? What makes you feel lucky in your relationship? Just foundational conversations you ought to be having as often as possible. Whether you've just been on a few dates or you've been together for a really long time like Dave and Sherry, it's time to lighten your mood and have fun with your partner using Paired. Head to paired.com/MTR to get a 7-day free trial and 25% off if you sign up for a subscription. Just head to paired.com/MTR, paired.com/MTR to sign up today. Connect with your partner every day using Paired. A happier relationship starts here.
All right, let's chit chat. What's on your mind about couples?
Well, I don't think I told you this, but I got this speaking gig coming up in June, and I've been thinking about like, what is it that I want to say? Like, what do I have to offer? Like 2 hours of just like stuff.
Ooh.
And what is how do I want to construct it? How do I want to build it? So I've been thinking a lot about it, and I think I've gotten myself into like, here's what I'm going to do. A little bit of lecture, a little bit of breakout, a little bit of like homeworky kind of stuff, but I want them to have something to take home. So I'm giving them three things to take home that are very specific. And I want to talk about the third one. Nope. They do. They start with the same letter.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. Are you kidding me?
Sort of. They sort of do. But I want to talk about the third thing. The third thing is this thing that I've said to you a lot of times, or that you maybe have heard me say a lot of times. It's this idea of move left. Have I talked to you about move left?
No. Not even.
Okay. Okay.
Is that like the Beyonce reference?
No, but certainly
to the left.
Certainly I will do that when I'm speaking. I'll be like, to the left, you know.
Yeah, good.
It's built on, okay, so the conceptually, it starts for me with this book that I read many, many years ago called Almost Alcoholic.
Interesting.
And the book is written by these two researchers out of, I think it's Yale. And they started studying psychopathy, like psychopaths. And they couldn't get enough people in the study to figure out how to build it. So they switched over to alcoholism. And what they did was they had this category on the right, which was called alcoholism. Mm-hmm. And alcoholism is, you know, at least in like the medical world, it's a very specific diagnosis and you have to check a few boxes. Like you have to have gotten a DUI or you have to have, you know, lost your job or you have to have blown a, like there's things that qualify you as an alcoholic, right? that are specific and they're diagnostic. And then over on the left, they had this thing called normal social drinking. And that was the people who just like, they go to a wedding every now and again, or they might have a glass of wine, or they have the appropriate amount of drink, but it's like, there's no, like alcohol isn't a thing for them. And the premise was that almost everyone on the planet lives in between those two things. Like
there
are very few people who are you know, within the scope of like all the people, there's a small subset of alcoholics, there's a small subset of normal social drinkers, and then everyone else is in between. Mm-hmm. And you could be like just right on the cusp of alcoholism because you drive drunk all the time, but you just haven't gotten your DUI. Maybe you actually qualify spiritually, but not legally as an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. And then there's people who are like, they are normal social drinkers, but they're just outside the range. Like maybe when they do go to that wedding, they binge drink, which is not normal, but it's also like not a thing they do more than once or twice a year or something, but like just they basically put everybody in this scope in the middle. And the premise of the book is a whole bunch of, invitation to move left. So move left, okay. Move left, move left. So no matter where you are on the range, just move to the left.
Yeah.
So, sorry, my wife's texting me and she's not supposed to do that. She just texted me that it was my brother's birthday. Thank
That's
you,
nice
Rebecca,
of her.
For telling me that.
She's not supposed
pleasure.
To do that. Or you should close your app down on your computer.
Yeah, I should do that. Oof. I'll put on the do not disturb. Coming the, home. A
little
coming.
Bit of a side note, because we've been talking about ADHD is, I did not talk to my primary care physician about my potential symptoms. I did not bring it up at all.
Okay.
So
maybe that's a second visit.
I don't know if I want to treat it. I think I'm just going to live to 40. Yeah. Okay. I think I'm just not going to treat it.
Well, that's we could talk about this conversation. That's a whole different conversation, right? ADHD is not a problem unless the symptoms are a problem.
Right.
In the world that you live in. Like, if your symptomology makes you $1 million and really good at your job and have amazing connections with your kids and your husband, then don't treat it.
Totally.
If your symptoms keep you from feeling connected, or they keep you from being sexually active, or they keep you from being able to keep a job, you got to treat it. Like that's just, so if you don't want to treat it, don't treat it. That's fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Back on track.
Back on track.
Squirrel
okay.
Brain.
So conceptually, this idea of move left as a phrase for me came from that reading many, many years ago. So then I've just sort of had my eyeball on it for a really long time. And like, what is it? And so I have adopted this idea of ranges, like a range in my practice with couples. So, and here's what I mean by that. And I do this, I realize I do this in my head way more often than I give myself credit for, than I think I'm doing. So somebody might say, would you please take out the garbage? The partner might hear, hey, you lazy bum, would you please take out the garbage that you haven't taken out for a week because you stink at taking out the garbage and you're unreliable.
Yeah.
They might hear, hey, my love, could you take out the garbage? Cause I'm washing the dishes and the sooner we get all this done, the sooner that we can snuggle on the couch together. And I can't wait to spend more quality time with you.
Okay.
There's a whole range of possibility.
Sure. Yeah.
And you can either gravitate toward the right, which is the negative response, or you can gravitate toward the left, which is the positive response. And I think people think they don't have as much control over that than as they do. I think they're like, she told me to take out the garbage and did, and she, and that felt really critical. And I'm like, how do you know?
Right.
How do you know it was critical? Well, because I could hear it in the tone of her voice. Well, how do you know that? Well, I get defensive because she's at, that's not why you get defensive. You get defensive because your dad yelled at you when you were 5 years old and he told you that you were a worthless piece of shit. That's why you get defensive. But when she tells you, anyway, my whole thinking is about, I think about ranges a lot and sort of, and I'll hold my hands up at my practice. I go, where are, like, what are you talking about? And I'll give them the two options. Yeah. And I'm usually, frankly, much more violent with the first root one, and I'm much more gentle with the second one. Like the range is actually really big.
Yeah.
And it's just an idea of how do you invite people to move left? Give their partner the benefit of the doubt. And there's a secret in it that I want to talk about. But first of all, tell me what you think about my move left rangy idea. Conceptually.
Well, I mean, conceptually, one, I think it normalizes us, because if you think of everything on a what's the word I'm thinking of?
Probably spectrum.
There's a bell curve. Everybody's on the bell curve, right? We all kind of like lump into the middle. That's the norm. And I think that just sort of like normalizes us. When you say just move to the left, it makes me think of this idea of 1% better. That you're not trying to make a drastic change, but all you're really trying to do is move ever so slightly to the left. And if you move to the left today, you move to the left tomorrow, and you continue to do that, these small incremental changes feel really possible. So it feels not as overwhelming. So I like that idea. I think it makes sense to me.
Okay. Yeah. So, let's role play for a second. I don't know how to build this in this moment, but let's say you ask me to take out the garbage. You say, Zach, could you please take out the garbage? And I hear,
or Zach,
you lazy bum, would you please take out the GD garbage? Because I can't count on you to do anything. And it's the one job that I know that you could probably do without fucking up. Oop, sorry. I tried to not cuss and then I did it. Anyway. Let's say I heard you say that. Right.
Okay. Yeah.
And then I open my mouth. What is going to happen?
You're going to get defensive.
Well, I'm going to get defensive. I'm going to make you defensive. And we're going to get in a fight.
Absolutely.
That's going to happen.
Right.
Let's say I hear you say, Zach, would you please take out the garbage? And in my head pops in, that is the most critical thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
Whoa.
And then I go, but I'm going to move left.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to move left. I'm just going to move left. See what happens if I move left. I'm just going to go there. And I say to myself, what she's probably saying is, Zach, would you please take out the garbage?
Okay.
And I go, sure thing. What's going to happen?
I'm going to be grateful that you heard me.
You're going to say, thank you.
You take the garbage out. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we're not going to be in a fight.
Right.
Okay. Let's say you say, Zach, would you please take out the garbage? And I decide to move even further left. And I go, oh my gosh, totally. You're doing the dishes. And the sooner we get this done, we're going to be able to snuggle. So yeah, I'll take it out. Anything else you need me to do? Then what's going to happen?
Perfect. Oh, I'm going to be like, you want to snuggle? Let me go. Yeah.
That's what's going to happen.
Let me go get the lotion. I'll massage your feet. I'm so excited. What movie do you want to watch? Whatever you want to watch.
By the way, I got a new pedicure within like 7 days. I totally fixed the terrible pedicure I got in Bend, Oregon.
I don't even think we talked about the pedicure, did we?
I think we did. Oh, maybe we did. Right. We did it on the internet. We got a pedicure. I got a pedicure when I was visiting Bend, Oregon.
He did.
And it was awful. It was the worst pedicure. So I had Tina fix it for me.
Okay. But for the record, I also said, are you sure you want to put your shoes on? It seems like your toes might still be drying.
It's true.
And you said, no, they're fine. And he put his shoes on.
But also like just the experience of being in the pedicure chair was not that great for me either.
You didn't love it. She didn't nurture your feet the way that your regular gal does.
Not the way that you would have if you got the lotion out and did the whole thing that you said you were going to do just now.
Put the lotion on the skin.
All right. No, but here's the thing. This is the thing that's embedded in my little thing.
Yeah.
None of us have any idea what was going through your mind when you said, would you please take out the garbage?
Right.
You might have been saying, because you're lazy and I need to remind you again. You might have been saying, because I'm looking for some chore play. You might have been saying,
totally,
hey, I just want the, like, no idea. Literally no idea.
Okay.
But because I moved left, mm-hmm, without having to be sure of what you were saying.
Yeah.
I created the response that I was wanting, which was closeness or connection. Right. Mm-hmm. If I'd stayed on the right, even because I'm defensive, and I would have opened my mouth and I would have started a fight. And it's possible you were saying, hey, I really just want to get these chores done as fast as we can. But I've ruined that now.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
So, I mean, essentially what you're saying is that you're giving me the benefit of the doubt. And not only that, but you're kind of extending, like, perhaps I'm pissed at you. Perhaps I think that you're lazy and mm-hmm, perhaps I had a tone, but you're not going to take the bait as we okay, say it.
Right.
You're going to choose to move left and you're going to say, I'm assuming that my partner is doing this because they want to spend time with me, or mm-hmm, I'm assuming that my partner is, you know, giving me the benefit of the doubt. How do you do that though? Like, how do you, Zach Brittle, give yeah, me, Laura Heck, the benefit of the doubt if you are,
yeah, or
if
Rebecca or Mary or Abby, account, any of them, right? Yeah.
Yeah. If your emotional bank account is drained, how do you move past that? How do you choose to move left?
Well, honestly, it's practice, right? I mean, it's practice. It's recognizing that while I might think that the proper response, the just and good and even authentic uh-huh, response is to stand up for myself or defend myself,
right,
or
right,
I have enough evidence of going, if I do that, I'm guaranteeing tension. I'm guaranteeing a right, fight. I'm guaranteeing disconnect.
Yes.
And so
yeah,
I've collected enough of those experiences, both in my life and also in my practice working with other people, to go, I wonder what options are available to me. I'm a huge, mm, huge fan of like considering options. So somebody mm-hmm, will go, we're going to be late and we're going to miss it. This is yesterday and we were on our way to a tennis match. We're going to be late and we're going to miss it. I go, okay. Or we're not, because, you know, who knows what's going on at the courts. I mean, they could have right, been waiting for the band to get off the court, you know, like, so I could have been like, you're right. And if you had left on time and da 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 da, and just, you know, Seattle's traffic situation is terrible. Like, I could have done that and we would have had a
yeah,
crappy ride. Or I could yeah, been like, or we could just turn on some music and like, or catch up and enjoy the time we have. You know what I mean? Like, mm, I have enough. So I think, and go again, people tell me I can't do that. It's really hard. I go, have you ever done anything hard? Have you ever done a hard yeah, thing before? Yeah.
Yeah.
How'd you do that? I practiced. Yeah. Right. You got to practice.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's, but this is what I'm talking about in terms of like giving people something that they can take away, which is like an arrow, like literally put the arrow on your mirror, put the arrow in your hand, put the arrow on your phone. So that when you look at your phone, you go, there's a left-handed arrow. There's an arrow pointing to the right, left, and say, like, just go left.
Yeah.
One of the like kind of really popular memes on the internet is this guy, it's standing at the bottom of the screen and he's at a fork in the road. And on the left is this big, bright, beautiful castle. And on the right is this big, dark, scary castle. And there's usually some kind of funny sign in the middle. And he's, you know, but I'm like, why wouldn't we go over there?
Why wouldn't you choose left? Yeah.
Yeah. Another metaphor that I've used that is connected to this, and it was funny because I had these like 20 somethings in my practice yesterday, is a Rolodex. Do you know what a Rolodex is?
I do. It's funny. You okay, said Rolodex and immediately I thought of Rolex, but I also know what a Rolodex is. I've never yeah, owned one, but yeah, I have certainly seen them on desks back in the
yeah,
day.
Yeah, no, I had a Rolodex for sure. But you know, you're going through the, your partner says, hey, would you please take out the garbage? And you start flipping through your Rolodex of possible responses.
Uh-huh.
And you got the ones that you're like, oh, I'm going to call this guy. I'm going to call this guy. They're yeah, pretty reliable. I know what I'm going to get with these guys. And I'm like, no, keep fingering through until you get to yeah, like a new one and yeah, see if you can like pull out a response that they're not really expecting, or call somebody else, call another part of you, the generous yeah, part of you. I do like the idea of giving someone the benefit of the doubt, because it's like, it is literally there's a generous verb in that. Like, generosity giving, is giving away, like give mm-hmm, here's the benefit of the doubt. Yeah. Here's the assumption yeah, that you're not trying to make me feel small, you know?
Right. as you were talking about having options, like really enjoying options, I was thinking about the benefit of therapy is that people come in and basically you say, you guys have had two options. You have been choosing the same choice, path, whatever it might be, chosen right every single time. And it feels like you don't have any other options. And when they come to therapy, we give them experiences that prove to them that you have more options. Mm-hmm. And I like that, but I also think that people get so stuck in that framework that they don't have options, that there isn't a way to move right. So I think just choosing or trying or testing or playing or experimenting or doing something can at least open your perspective up a little bit of like, I do have an option. Didn't think I had any, at least I have one more than I started with.
It is really edifying to have couples come back in and talk to me about how they started to evaluate options, how they like, this popped into my head. And then I decided to play around with like, what else was available to me? And sometimes their partner will be like, you did? That was the thing that you were trying? And they're like, yeah,
right.
Cause I pay money to come here and learn stuff and I'm going to try it out. And so I guess I'm saying to you out there in listener land is this free, try it out. Just try it out. See what happens if you start to move left and let us know, because I think that there's, recognizing that you have options is empowering. It actually is empowering. Like, even if it's like, where am I going to go to college? If you only have one option, you feel like, I guess I'm going to this one place and that's my life. And this is what, you know, but if you got 10 options, it's kind of empowering. Might be confusing. Might be challenging to discern which one of the choose, but you know, I'm talking about just not feeling stuck.
Right.
And whether or not you feel stuck, you're not. You can move a little bit left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You don't have to move all the way over into normal social drinking to cure your alcoholism. You can just move left and be a little less under the sway than you were yesterday. Thank you for making your relationship better today than it was yesterday.
Than it was yesterday.
Yeah.
Well, maybe this was helpful. Was it helpful for you to be able to chat it out? What were the other two, by the way? Like, what are the other two nuggets that you're going to give?
They won't surprise you. The thing I want to do is I'm going to probably print out little cards, like business card size cards. And, and on those cards, I'm going to have three symbols. And the first one is going to be a question mark because I'll talk a lot about curiosity. And the second one will be an ampersand, which will be a lot about this idea of accepting influence and extending the game and and then the third one will be an arrow pointing left. And so I'll spend time in each little segment around the symbol, talking about how to leverage them in real life. And then people will go home and they'll have a little card they can put in their pocket and they can pull it out and be like, I wasn't supposed to do. Oh, I'm supposed to be curious. I'm supposed to say, and I'm supposed to move left. Like, and hopefully that will be valuable.
Yeah. And who's your audience? Are they couples? Are they individuals, professionals?
Yeah, it's couples. I kind of got on this little, little circuit with, the network at my church. And so like I spoke at my church a couple weeks ago and then that got me another opportunity to kind of do this other thing. And so I'm like sort of messing around with, if this is a thing I'm going to do, I need a little shtick. Like I need some shtick.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be the symbols guy or something, you know?
Yeah.
Because I don't want to go in and straight up teach the Gottman method or straight up teach the new stuff that I'm learning about in Relational Life Institute or straight up. Like I want to be a clearinghouse almost to go, hey, here's the themes that you really need to wrap your head around. And then here are some ways you can actually put that into practice. So
it's interesting that you chose those three things. Cause you're like, okay, I have 2 hours. I may never see these people ever again. They may never read a book, listen to a podcast, go to therapy.
Right.
So what is the thing that I want to impart on them? And it is really interesting because we have been talking on this podcast for 7 years. You've written now four books. So it's like, if you were to summarize, what is the most important thing that you want couples to walk away with? You just said it's curiosity. It's accepting influence from your partner and it's choosing to give your partner the benefit of the doubt. Correct?
Yeah.
All right. Interesting.
Probably. Yeah.
Okay.
The book I really want to write though, it's probably really close to that third theme, which is, I think, people accept language at face value without really examining it. And mm-hmm. I think language, or they accept just stuff. So a thing pops into my head. Would you please clean, take out the garbage? And I accept that that's a critical statement and I don't examine it. And now
right.
that's where my trouble begins, you know? Mm. And so what I want to, the book I really want to write is to take all of the most popular, like popularly accepted pieces of advice or marital relationship tropes and tell them yeah. why they need to examine those even further. So my favorite one to expose this is like, I hate marriage is a marathon, not a sprint.
Oh, interesting. It's several sprints. Is it not?
Well, it's just running. Marriage is just running until you die.
Great.
Or until you get divorced. Like it's not, it's, there's no 26.2 miles that you're done.
There's no halfway. Ending.
There's no, yeah. there's literally just how am I going to stay on this pass and how yeah. I'm going to pace myself and how I'm like, I got no benchmarks.
It's just endurance.
They got no water breaks. It's just going. And so how do you do that? So I don't need to beat up the metaphor because I think it's true that it's closer to a marathon than it is to a sprint, but it's also mm-hmm. flawed to think that somehow you're going to get to the end of it and be like, okay, I did it.
Yeah.
Good. Where's my blanket and my beer? You know, no, you, they're like, no, you got to keep going. There's 26.2. Yeah. Nice job. Hey, there, keep going.
Yeah. Know?
By the way, if there's a bankruptcy and a divorce and or like a death of a parent and a weird diagnosis. So good luck. Have fun.
I have found with several couples that like they definitely come in and the response is we are choosing to pause the marriage right now. Mm-hmm. Not that they're choosing. What they're saying to me is, Laura, we're coming to you in therapy and we're going to sit in front of you for 50 minutes. But just so you know, there's no work going on outside of the relationship other than when we see you. And that's because our life, we've prioritized everything else in our life above our relationship. And so we might sleep in the same bed together and we might, you know, make breakfast in the same kitchen side by side, but there's no relationship actually going on and they're in agreement. It's like they've just kind of decided, like, we're just going to stop off at this water station, hang out for the next couple of years until the cloud cover passes by. But all right, we're totally on to another subject, aren't we?
Right on. Yeah. Anyway. Cool. Well, thanks for letting me workshop that. I hope that's helpful to you guys in the listener land. That's all I got today.
All right. Well, let's land this plane and, I'm going to have like 4 more cups of coffee cause I'm not quite awake yet. And then we'll interview our next guest.
Yeah, totally. Sounds fun.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Marriage Therapy Radio. You know, what's kind of funny is right after we stopped recording, I turned to Zach and I said, nah, I didn't really love that concept. Didn't land for me. And he was so upset that I didn't say it on the podcast. But for the record, I just told him it didn't resonate for me, and that's totally fine. But I was trying to be gentle with his spirit. Here's something that is coming up that I'm really excited to tell you about is that we have our next weekend intensive. So it's coming up on May 17th, which is a Friday, and May 18th, which is half of your Saturday. You can register on marriagetherapyradio.com. It's our spring weekend intensive. The next workshop isn't until October. So this would be your last opportunity until October to join me and Zach for a weekend intensive going through the 7 principles for making marriage work. There's an early bird discount until April 17th. It's SP24 early. SP for spring, 24 early, and that saves you $25 off of registration. Thanks for your time and attention, making your relationship better today than it was yesterday.